Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, that's right. Monday, May the 27th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, got a very powerful show scheduled for you. They want to talk about this topic or this subject that everybody experiences. Everybody experiences adversity. No matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter where you live, no matter where you go, we all experience this thing called adversity. So adversity is one of these topics that nobody likes to talk about, but everybody goes through. Everybody experiences adversity. Now, the question is, what do we do with this adversity? What do you do with it? But before we can talk about what we do with adversity, we got to look at what is it? What is adversity? Well, to me, how do you benefit from adversity? Now, remember, anytime you name something or anytime we put a definition on something, the message or the essence of the something is inside the definition of the something. So your ability to understand the definitions of this word or the meaning behind the word adversity. Now, there's many different types of adversity. And without going into the details of the different, you know, types of adversity, we would just really want to look at how or what is this thing that we call adversity. Now, when we talk about this adversity, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be psychological, whether it be social, whether it be, what did I leave out? We got the financial, spiritual, social, emotional, mental. There's many different types or there's many different kinds of adversity. So adversity hits you from different spaces or different angles. So the first thing that we've got to look at is that there are many, many different types of adversities. And so when we talk about adversity, then you can't really paint it with a broad brush. Although we are going to do that today, I do understand that there are different types of adversity. But what I want to focus on today is that when I talk about adversity, I'm talking about adding a verse to your city. So when we talk about what adversity is, we got to understand that adversity comes into our lives at different times and different places because of certain things that we need to understand. And the ability to understand that statement is the foundation of life, because most people see adversity as something negative. Now, it's real easy to say that when you're not going through adversity. But the moment adversity shows up, it's very interesting how we react to adding a verse to our city or to ourselves. So when we talk about facing adversity and we're talking about the different types of adversity and we look at the definition of adversity, it usually has to do with something that is unfavorably, or it is something that is a misfortune, or it is something that is a calamity. So when we talk about adversity, most of the time people talk about adversity from the perspective of the fact that adversity is not something that we want in our lives. It is something that is a negative. And because of our ability or inability to understand what adversity is, that leads to more adversity. And remember, we bring about what we think about. Now, the key to understanding adversity is to really understand that we are adding something. And we're adding a verse. It is something that the universe says that we need in our repertoire. Now, your ability to understand that the universe knows you better than you do. Source knows you better than you do. So the big G, the universe, the prime creator, needs to add a line in the story, so to speak. So the universe, God, is telling you that, okay, let me add something to your plate. Let me give you something to assist you with something. But we don't see adversity like that. We see adversity as being something that is a misfortune, something that is negative, something that doesn't benefit us. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to change the way that we see adversity, which is almost impossible. Almost. Most people, once they come into understanding what adversity is, and the reason why I'm doing today's show is because adversity sticks around until you add the verse. So remember, adversity means to add a verse. It's ADD and then a verse. So we're adding something. So we are part of the universe. And so in order for you to be a part of the universe, you go to the inner verse and you take what's in the inner verse and you add that to the outer verse. That creates your universe. So you got to add a verse. So the only way that you can participate is you take what you learned in the inner verse and then you add it to the inner verse as to the universe and to the outer verse. That just simply means that when we talk about adding a verse, it's a frequency. It's a wave. It's a vibration. So this frequency, this wave or this vibration, according to us, is a misfortune. It's an unfortunate event. It's an incident because we got definitions. But source code don't have the definitions that we have. So source code just sends a frequency, a wave of vibration, and we define that frequency or that wave of vibration as good or bad. And so something happens in your life, and because of your definitions, you said that's a misfortune, it's a hardship, it's difficulty, it's a calamity, it's evil, it's wicked, it's dirty, it's all of these things because it's adverse. So when we talk about the word adverse, we got to divide it. Because once we divide the word, then we can understand the word. So let's define it so that we all understand exactly what we're doing. So adversity means, number one, I want to add something. So the word add means to unite or to join, to increase. Let me say it again. Very important. The word add means to unite. It means to join. It means to increase. Let me say it again. Add. We're going to we're dividing this word adversity. So we want to break this down so that way we can understand, because since we got a faulty definition, remember, mind creates mechanics, and mechanics create money. And so your ability to understand, you know, money is your medicine. Money is your matter. Money is your currency, not just paper. So if you have a money problem, if you have a matter problem, if you have a medicine problem, that means chemistry. That means me and you can't vibe because we don't get along. Because your vibe is different from my vibe. And the reason that we're not vibing is because the way that your mechanics. So the mechanics, these are the three M's that we've been talking about all week. And so if your mechanics is off, the mechanics is your behavior. So your mechanics is that it's like we are all a mechanic. And so this is the mechanisms. This, again, is understanding what is called the biomechanics. So there is a biological, mechanical way that, by which you oscillate, or by the way that you vibrate. And since your biomechanics is off, that simply means that your medicine, that means the chemistry that's released, the dopamine, serotonin. So instead of you receiving the good chemicals, you are receiving the bad chemicals. Now, this is extremely important because the mind produces the mechanics. It produces the chemicals. It produces the frequency, the wave, or the vibration. And adversity comes into the life, and because we perceive it as bad, guess what happens? It produces bad. And so instead of it producing the feel-good chemicals in the brain, it produces the bad chemicals. If you want to use the word bad, again, definitions, the bad chemicals in the brain. And so the feel bad chemicals in the brain, these are toxic chemicals that are released inside of the brain. And instead of the feel good chemicals like, you know, your endorphins, the oxytocin, the serotonin, the melatonin, the dopamine, we release chemicals in the brain that makes us feel quote unquote bad. We release adrenaline and we release, you know, cortisone and cortisol. So we do not release the chemicals because the mind controls the chemicals. So mind controls matter. And so your ability to understand that depression and the hormones that are being released inside of the body, that's the result of chemistry. So that's your mind controls your mechanics. And then your mechanics releases your medicine. So if I can change your mind, how do we change our mind? By changing our definitions. So it's really interesting that we have this power, but we give it away. So we have the power to change the definitions of the words that we use. So everything starts with the first word, and that's the word adversity. So by looking at this word adversity, now I'm not taking away the fact that if somebody walks up to you and punches you in the face, that's not a bad feeling. And that's going to create an alarm inside of the brain. That's going to bring about fight, flight, or freeze. So the neurotransmitters inside of the brain, they react to certain stimuli. I am not ignoring the fact that there are certain types of behavior that you and I would all agree that these are behaviors that we do not want to experience. So we're not talking about the action. I'm talking about the feeling. Because I can't control my feelings. I can't control your actions. So if you slap me, I can control how I feel about the slap. I can't control whether or not you slap me or not. Now I can prevent it. I can block it. I can move out of the way. I can slap you back. But then what do I feel? So what you feel, that's real. That's real for you. So you attract what you feel. You bring out what you feel about. So your job is to change the mechanics of depression or change the mechanics of feelings. Now, this is very important because the chemistry that is released, there is a gap. During depression, the normal neurological gap between the neurons, that's called the synaptic gap. There's not enough energy to bridge the gap during depression. So depression is when the neurons are so far apart, they don't communicate with each other. So the brain chemistry is imbalanced. Now, the imbalance of the brain, remember we talked about this, things that cause the neurons to disconnect and then things that cause the neurons to connect. Now, the chemistry of depression is under open understanding that the neurons and the receptors are too far apart because, again, it doesn't allow you to bridge the gap. There is a synaptic gap, and the neurons can't talk to each other because there's something in the brain, and that thing that's inside of your brain, that's your mind. And so your mind is releasing chemicals, and those chemicals, that activates your mechanics, and the mechanics releases, again, the medicine. But the neurotransmitters and the synaptic cliff or the synaptic gap got to be closer together in order to bridge the gap. Or there must be a great emotional charge in order to bridge the gap. So now we're talking about, this is how you add. This is the first part of the word. So the word adversity means I got to be able to increase the number of neurological firings in my brain. Now this is the biology behind it. How do we do that? Feelings. So who controls your feelings? You do. You can't control somebody else's actions, but you do control your feelings. Now, let me be crystal clear. I'm not living in no Disneyland. This is real deal Holyfield. Bad shit happens to good people. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Now, I'm not saying that you should not cry. But when you're done, you might want to get your ass up. Because see, what happens is you stay down too long. The chemicals that make you happy are not being released. Serotonin is a mood stabilizer. Dopamine is the reward chemical. Oxytocin is the law of love hormone. Endorphins are the painkillers. So I control my serotonin, my melatonin, my endorphins, my oxytocin, my endorphins, morphine, everything that's inside of my body, I control it. I don't allow nobody to control it for me. I control it myself. Now, if you are waiting for me, if I'm your mate and you're waiting for me to come by you and tell you something so that way you can feel oxytocin, the love hormone that is released doing certain things that make you feel. Now, if I'm having a bad day, if you pissed me off or if you done something, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to withhold that feeling from you because that's what a good psychopath and sociopath does. They control your endorphins. They control your serotonin. And they replace your oxytocin with BDNF or cortisol. Now, this is the stress hormone that is released anytime you feel like you're not being loved, valued, or respected. That is the mechanics, the structure of neurotransmitters. Without getting into the biology behind it, your job is to be, again, a holy grail grid engineer. Y'all remember that 7-hour series that we did on how to be a holy grail grid engineer? What does that mean? That means adversity. This is how you manage adversity. This is how you use adversity to build and to structure neurotransmitters that actually make you feel good. So how do you feel good while experiencing bad? Let me say it again. How do you feel good while being bad? This is what I majored. Now, I told you guys I do my best work when I violate all biblical principles. I make my most money when I go against everything that you believe is right and wrong. When I violate your morals, that's when I make my most money. That's when I release the most oxytocin. That's when I release the most serotonin. That's when all of my neurotransmitters are activated. Because why? I am doing things that benefit me. It's called self-love. And the number one problem is that everybody in Life Management System, Kingdom Inner Training Center, my friends, family members, they all do not have that ability to what? That is, I force myself to be evil. I force myself because I'm not an evil guy. I'm a six. I'm a good guy. So if it's up to me, and I learned this in the prison from freaking inmates on death row. So I hung out with sociopaths and psychopaths because they told me I was a sociopath and I was a psychopath. Remember, I was clinically diagnosed with bipolar disorder, clinically diagnosed with arrested development disorder, clinically diagnosed with schizophrenia. Clinically diagnosed. I went to the University of Texas here in San Antonio, went to the psych ward, and I was clinically diagnosed with all of these, along with some other psychological disorders or mental dis-ease. And they said, here you go, homie. Here is some Prozac. Here is some medication. I took it home and I threw it away because I knew I had to control my own behavior. And when I worked in a supermax prison, with everybody in there that had 3, 4, 5 life sentences, they had no chance of parole. And those are real psychological killers, mind control dudes and dudettes. These were professionals. I mean, I'm talking about dudes that could pass. They could kill somebody on Monday, and they could pass a lie detector test on Tuesday. They could look you in the eyes with tears rolling down their cheek and tell you that they did not do it, and you got them on freaking videotape. And they are so convincing that they will con you out your drawers. Guaranteed. And they all told me, dude, we don't use your weaknesses. We use your strengths against you. And that's when I learned the game. And that's when I got my education on deviant behavior and the psychology of the psychopath and the sociopath. And that's when I realized that the only way to deal with a psychopath and a sociopath is if you got your life path. Because if you don't have your life path, you are a sociopath or a psychopath by default. So when the Bible says in Proverbs 29, when it says that where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. That is the most important scripture ever written to me. Now, there's a lot of them. But the Bible clearly says where there is no vision, something happens. If you are married to, if you are with, if you are in business, if you're hanging out with, if you got children, if you got aunts, uncles, and cousins, if you know anybody that don't know their purpose, they will abuse you. It's like talking to somebody with a loaded gun, and they are pointing it at you because they don't got a target. Vision is the mental picture in the mind. So when I meet a man who don't know his purpose, I know he has to shoot at me because he ain't got no target. So the problem in life is that you, like most people, you cannot add the verse to your cities or to your cells because you don't understand the verse. You don't understand the frequency of the wave of the vibration. And so the number one problem on earth, bar none, there is no other problem that is more important than this problem. And that is understanding the word adversity. Because the word adversity, once you understand the word adversity, then you understand that you are adding something. Okay, but the word that sounds great, brother. That'll get me started. But what the hell am I adding? So I know where there is no vision, people cast out restraint. Okay, boo-boo, you might want to start there. That's why I do purpose reports. All I do every day is I show people their vision. That's it. I get paid to tell you your vision. Now, I know you're not going to believe me because, like me, being a social, being very social, that's why we got social media. So being a good social path is more accepted by this harmonious arrangement. And if you're not a good sociologist, the next thing is to be a good psychologist. And to get into psychology and understand therapy or therupo. And once you become a good psychologist, then that makes you a good quote unquote rapist. Because if you look at the word therapist, you will see the word T-H-E, the, and you will see the word R-A-P-I-S-T. S, rapist, the rapist. Look at the word therapist. So when you are, when you go to therapy, you're being raped mentally. Now, having been raped mentally, I overstand the game. That's why today's message is called Overstanding, adding a verse to your sales or to your city. So that's a benefit. Adversity is a benefit. Because if you don't add this to your storyline, you're going to get manipulated. You're going to get conned. Guaranteed. Somebody's going to come up to you. They're going to say the right things because they're good. Again, they understand sociology or they understand psychology, but they don't understand lifeology. So most people on earth don't have a clue, myself included, 50 years on the freaking planet, walking around in circles because I didn't have a freaking clue about life. I understand social. I had great social skills. I was a good sociopath. And then after I got up, finished that, I became a good psychopath because I got into psychology. So everybody I met, I sucked the life out of them. And I left them on the side of the road like a dried up prune. And I just went on to the next person. And I just went through life like a freaking virus, destroying people. And I left a trail of destruction. You don't believe me? I can bring my 5 kids on here. And I can bring my wife, my ex-wife on here. She'll tell you. I can bring my brothers and sisters. They'll tell you. Every time I called them, I had a new multi-level marketing scheme. Now, I didn't have no money, and I'm calling people with money to tell them how to make money. Does that make sense to you? That's what I used to do. So I didn't read about this shizness in no book, man. This was my real life. I am not proud of the man I used to be, but I am proud of the man I am today. Because where I came from, boo-boo, I talk to people all day, and they tell me their war stories, and it pales in comparison to the shit that I've done. Now, again, I'm not on here to try to, you know, promote my negativity or all the stuff that I did wrong. That is not the purpose of today's message. The purpose of today's message is for you to understand why you are in the situation that you're in. Because source code, the Father, the big G, the Heavenly Father, the Earthly Mother, is trying to add a verse, a frequency, a wave of vibration to your cells. So that way you don't get conned. Because when that frequency comes in next time, you're going to be like, hold up, time out. I remember feeling the same way last time I met somebody that was a smooth talker. And I gave them all my money. I brought into their system. I went to their seminar. And I got took. I remember that feeling. But see, if you don't remember, if you don't know what adversity is for, every time you get that same feeling, you're going to get freaking duped again and again and again and again until you become very bitter and become very angry. And so the adversity is not going to make you better. The adversity is going to make you bitter. There's a lot of people that I know that are bitter because they didn't learn from adversity. So adversity comes into your life to make you better. Adversity does not come into your life to make you bitter. And adversity always will come into the life, and it will stay in your life until you add the verse to your city. And the city is your sales. You're not adding the verse. So source, prime creator, heavenly father, earthly mother will always send that same frequency, that wave of that vibration. Now remember, we already broke down the first word, add. We know that that word means to combine. Addition, it means to increase. It means to join with something else in order to increase the size, the quality, or the scope. Let me say that again. Why does bad things happen to good people? Why do you keep going through the same shizness over and over again? You're not increasing. You're not combining. You're not increasing. You're not adding to the scope and to the size. So adversity. Adversity means you're supposed to add something that's going to increase, not decrease. So if you do not become better after adversity and you become bitter, you got to repeat it. That's why when adversity come into my life, I'm like, ooh, I'm excited. Why? I'm gonna know I'm about to blow up. I get ecstatic. So now the enemy knows he don't even send me adversity anymore. He knows that this fool gets too excited. I wake up every day and I go looking for devils and demons. Sometimes I create my own adversity. Sometimes I just make up trouble so that way I can add a verse to my sales. And I got to the point where I had to like, hold up, Tom, I got to be careful. I got to stop doing this because it's like on Facebook. When somebody says something negative to me, I get excited. Because like, ooh-wee, I'm about to debate somebody. And I got so excited that I started getting my emotional release at the expense of other people's feelings. And the big G had to told me, hold up, Negro. You forgot the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. I was like, well, this fool is debating me. He didn't even do no research. He's talking about his name is Jesus. This Negro didn't even research. And no, ain't no damn J's was around when he was around. It's impossible that his name was Jesus. And they want to debate me. I got freaking biological proof. I got historical facts. I got cosmological evidence. And so I enjoy that confrontation. And I realized that I was getting my emotional payoff, but I wasn't getting no financial payment, which left me with a spiritual peace. Everybody on this call should receive three things with every encounter every day of your life. If you do not receive these three things in the area of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, everybody on this call should write these three things down, because you are not. So you got to stay in adversity. You must repeat the adversity because you're not adding to your lot. You're not establishing the kingdom of God on earth. Number one, you should receive an emotional payoff. If you do something, and if something is done to you, good or bad, because remember, energy is not good or bad. You, based upon your definition, you decide it's good or bad. God did not tell you his name. You put a name. He has a name, according to the book of Revelations, written on his thigh that no man or woman can pronounce. So how the hell you know his name when he just said that he got a name that you can't even freaking pronounce? So if he has a name, and he does, and then he says that his name, he tells you in the book, he said that his name is the entire word of God. I didn't make it up. Revelations 19, verse 13. So I see Negroes and Negroettes who tell me what God's name is. I know that I'm talking to a Negro that is ignorant. Means he's ignoring facts. Because Revelation says he has eyes like a blazing fire. He has many royal crowns on his head. Eyes like a blazing fire. I don't even want to get into under open understanding that what we've been talking about, which is the gateway to God, which is the activating of the three optical nerves in the brain. So there's other tissues besides your eyeballs that have optical nerves. One is the pineal gland. The other is the pituitary gland. The other is the thalamus, the hypothalamus. They all have optical nerves. His eyes, plural, more than one, are like blazing fire. Many royal crowns on his head. Royal crowns, that's the 12 cranial nerves in the top of your brain called the circle of Willis. Go to Google or your favorite searches and do not believe me. Type it in. Circle of Willis. So when you see the movie King Arthur, that's the author. An author is somebody who publishes a book. An author gives you authority. It makes you, you are the authorized. That's why you got the King James authorized. He's the author that's controlling the crown of Willis, the 12 cranial nerves. So King Arthur and the round table. The round table is your round head. That's the crown. You, there's royal crowns on his head. And he has a name written that only he himself knows. Who knows the name, brother? Who knows? Oh, you know the name. Oh, you do. And I just read it, said he has a name written on him that only he knows. Then verse 13, Revelation 19, 13 says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So his name is the Word of God, the entire freaking book. So you're going to take out one name out of all the names, and you're going to put God, the unnameable one, in a box. And you wonder why your God, he don't work for you. In other words, you got a God that's his hands are too short. See, my God is all-knowing. He's all-power. He's all-present. He's all-simplistic, and he's all-benevolent. So I got the big G. So I'm connected to the prime creator. I'm connected to source code. So therefore, when adversity comes into my life, there is nothing outside of source that source don't know, because if he's all-knowing, okay, that means he knows everything. If he's all-power, I don't care how powerful he is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I have the power to tread upon scorpions, then all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm me. Nothing. He's all-present, so I don't care. So you're doing something behind my back, and you live in Philly, and I'm in Texas. I know. My why? Verse. I can pick it up. Now, this happens to me all the time. Clients tell me stuff, and they are dumbfounded because there's no reaction. Because I already know. And he's all simplistic, so I can make complex issues very simple, and he's all benevolent. So anytime somebody do something to me that's not benevolent, I know that that's not God. I know that they are under the spirit of a ruling disposition, because I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So you're not my enemy, even though you want to be. Now you may be my enemy, but I'm not your enemy. I can get along with anybody. So the word verse, now remember, adversity means something should happen to you that make you better, not bitter. What should happen? A verse. What is a verse? A verse is a stanza, S-T-A-N-Z-A, a verse. So a verse is a stanza. A stanza is an arrangement of certain lines. A stanza is a rhyme. A stanza is like a sentence that's in a succession of other sentences. A verse is a succession of something that is written or printed. A verse. So a verse is a group of words. It's like a sentence. Now, let me make sure you understand, because now we're getting into the deep. The word adversity means inner verse. It means outer verse. It means universe. The Bible is the only book that has verses in it. Let me say it again. Every other book got sentences. But the Bible is the only book that is filled with verses. Is there anybody reading the Bible and it says, go to the sentence? Anybody? Everybody who read the Bible, they say, go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 16. The Bible is the only book that is referred to as verses. If I tell you to open a book and go to page something such and such or chapter so and so, I don't refer to the sentences in the book as a verse. The Bible is the Helios Biblios. That's what the word Bible means. It means Helios. Helios means sun. Biblios means book. It is a book about the sun. That is the sun. So it's the S-U-N and the S-O-N. So you need to add a verse. Verses are only found in the Bible. Now, a verse is a section of a Psalms, P-S-A-L-M. Now, in the Bible, there is the book of Psalms. But the word verse actually comes from a Latin word, V-E-R, S-U-S, versus. So the word verse actually means V-E-R-S-U-S, which actually means to turn as a plow. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. So the word verse actually means versus. It means to add something that makes you turn. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people that they may hear what thus says the word of God. So when adversity comes into your life, God is adding something into your life so you can turn around because you're going in the wrong direction. So adversity means to add a turn in your cell or in your cities or your city. Because every cell inside of your body is an individual city. So adversity comes into the life so that way you can add something to the life that elevates you up so that way you can turn away from being bitter and turn towards being better. So the word verse actually means to be turned as to face something opposite, over, against, or past. The word versus, or the word verse, when we get the word versus, it is actually a legal term that means to be turned toward or to turn the wind, to turn, to bend toward, a Sanskrit word, V-A-R-T-A-T-E. It means turns round or turn rolls. It means to turn or roll. So the word verse, so every verse in the Bible is there so to help you turn. Let me say it again. Every verse really means verses. And adversity keeps coming because you don't turn. So you will keep experiencing, God will keep adding a verse into the life to get you to turn. He's trying to get you to turn. And then the last part of the word, which to me is the most important part. So I'm going to give you something. Remember, the word add, you're going to join into this calamity. So that way you can stop going in the direction that you're going in and go into another direction that does what? Benefits the sales. Adversity. So that word S-I-T-Y is code for the word C-I-T-Y. So adversity. City means city. S-I-T-Y. So you need to add a verse. Now, the way that you add the verse, because a verse is a phrase, it is a terminology, it's a word, it's a group of words, and words are spoken thoughts, and thoughts are a non-spoken vibration. So a word or a verse is a frequency, a wave or a vibration that has been expressed, exposed, and expanded. So it's added. So it means to add a frequency or a wave or vibration to a large, important inhabitant. So the word city has to do with something that a place that is inhabited. But a city has to do with something that is considered a settlement. It is something where a group is gathered. The word city is a part of or comes from a Latin word, citatum, a citatum, where we get the word citizen. So a city is membership in a community. So this is the word adversity basically means I'm going to elevate you to a place where you can see good enough to turn to go to your citizenship, your membership in the community. So adversity is really something that is designed to elevate you so that way you can join with a specific vision, frequency, wave of vibration that returns you back to the town or the city or a condition where you are a citizen or a membership or have a membership in a community. So if we reverse engineer the word, it is a community. It is a membership where the frequency, the wave or the vibration elevates you. Oh, man. Let me tell you one more time the benefits of adversity. Because remember, we live on a planet where everything is backwards. So remember, you take any word and you got to reverse it. You got to reverse engineer it. Like it says in Isaiah, they take the truth and turn it upside down. So you got to find what they turned upside down and turn it right side up. So the word adversity means it is a community where you have a where you are a citizen, or you have the conditions or the rights of a citizen. So the word city means that there is a place where you've settled, where you have rights that makes you a citizen, a son, or a daughter. According to the Bible, you are a son of the Most High. You are joint heir. You are a royal priest. You ain't no freaking peasant. You belong. You are a king's kid. You are the son and the daughter of the king. You are the offspring of the king. We are kings and queens. So the city simply means your citizenship. It's your community. So there's a community, there's a citizenship where you belong. So it is a community that has a specific frequency, a verse, a wave of vibration that elevates or adds. The word add simply means to join together. So that is the frequency, that's the place. So adversity is something that comes into the life to simply return you back to your citizenship. So adversity is designed to get your attention, to let you know, hey, boo-boo, you're going in the wrong direction. You are a child of the king. You ain't no freaking peasant. So adversity will always come into your life until you vibrate on the level of your citizenship. Now, if you're not a citizen of the king, if you're not an offspring of the king, that means you're not a part of this settlement. You're not a part of this particular civitas, S-I-V-I-T-A-S, a Latin phrase. That means citizenship. It means a condition or right of a citizen. It means membership in the community. It means a community of citizens, a state or a commonwealth. So if you are not a member, then that adversity, you're just suffering for nothing. So adversity comes into the life in order to change the life. Now, the question is, okay, Brother Will, that sounds great in theory, brother, but you don't understand, man. You don't know what I've been through, brother. I know you only, you know, talking all of this stuff about adversity and you're giving us the definitions and stuff, but you don't understand, man. I'm going through. You don't understand what happened to me. You don't know how I got this happened and that happened and so on and so forth. Bad things happen to good people. And so when those bad things happen to you, you got a choice. Because add is the number one or the first word, which when you reverse it, that's the last piece of the puzzle, add. And when you add, you're supposed to join. You're supposed to find the sum. The word add not only means or has to do with the joining together. The word add is a mathematical term. Remember, God is a mathematical God. That's why he uses letters and numbers. That's why there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Numbers. Numbers are very important to source code. Because God is a God that uses mechanics. Mechanics is a step by step by step by step. That's why we have chemistry. Because it is H2O. It's not H5O. If you got too much of one and not enough of the other, it changes the molecular structure. And you are producing something else. So source code is very precise. So the word add means to find the sum total. The word add means to perform the arithmetic operation. The word add comes from the word addition. So the word addition, that means a mathematical or to perform arithmetic. That's the mechanics. That's the second M of the three M's. So your mind needs to produce the mechanics in order for you to control the matter or the money or the medicine. So you're supposed to self-medicate. That's why I knew in my gut when I went to the therapist and they gave me all the different medications that they gave me and I went home and threw them in the trash. I knew pharmakeia was not the solution because I knew pharmacy comes from the word pharmakeia and the word pharmakeia comes from the word sorcery. And I knew the word doctor comes from the word deity. So I wasn't going to take anything from a deity of sorcery because I knew sorcery wasn't going to be beneficial to me. Now, I'm not saying that may not be beneficial to you. But I'm just saying just for me, as for me in my house. So I knew I had to do something. And I took the numbers that was in my chart. And I know maybe for you, this may not make sense. But every time adversity comes into my life, I return back to the basics. And the basics is not numbers, although they are expressed through numbers. Let me make sure that you understand how to benefit from adversity and add the right frequency that returns you back to your citizenship. Or understand that you are a child of the king. As a child of the king, you have certain rights. And these rights elevate you. Now, how do I access my rights? It's like if I go to the bank, I got to have an ID card to present to the bank teller to prove I'm a child of the king, or naturally to prove that this is my bank account. And my bank account is numbers. So I give them my numbers. If I got a credit card, the credit card got numbers on it. When I was born on numbers. I was born on September. That's 9, 15. That's a 1 of 5, and 19 something or something or something. So those are numbers. And if I take the letters out of my name, the W converts into a number. The I converts into a number. The L converts into a number. The L converts into a number. And the numbers, they convert into a substance. So I need to perform the arithmetic operation of addition. So the word add means I need to know the only way to go to the Father is through the Son, not the Son. Now you got the Son. I'm not mad at you, boo-boo. But after you're done with the Son, whether it's the S-O-N or the S-U-N, you need the S-U-M. So I know how to find the sum total of my numbers. And so the way that I get through adversity, when adversity throws, so if I have more bills than money, I don't panic. I don't get confused. I don't get frustrated. I break down and I get into the sum. I find the sum. I add a verse to my sales. So adversity is coming into my life. What is adversity? There's stress that comes when you have more bills than you have money. That's called adversity. So what do I do? Okay, I need to add a verse to my sales. How do I add a verse to my sales? I take the sum total of my numbers. Okay, I'm a 3, 3, 6. I'm a 1, 2, 3. And then I'm a 1, 2, 3 again. And then I'm a 5, 4, 9. Those are all the 12 numbers that make up the four numbers, 6, 3, 3, 9, in the middle of my chart, which is my date of birth, which is the numbers from adding up all the letters of the name. It's the third number is the number of the consonants in my name. The fourth number is the number of vowels in my name. I add up all of that. That gives me four numbers. Those four numbers, they came from two numbers. So the number 6 comes, that's two numbers that precede it. Every once in a while, there's three numbers. But for most people, it's only two. So when I add up the month, the day, and the year that I was born, it equals to 33. And I add 3 and 3, it is equal to 6. So I take all three numbers. 3 plus 3 equals 6. 3, creator. 3, creative. 6, compassion. So how do I overcome adversity? I become very creative, and I create something that brings compassion to the universe and to myself and to other people. As long as I do that and don't pay attention to bills, but pay attention to my sum total of my numbers, I'm going to add a verse to my sales. It's going to elevate me. So I got to be the solution, not the problem. Overcoming adversity, you are going to school. Adversity is the school of the university. So adversity is the enrollment into the spiritual university. So una means one, versity. So you got to get to the place you will continue to have adversity until you enroll in spiritual university. So adversity is how you get into the college of spirit, get into the spiritual college. So you got to go to spiritual you. You got to go, you got to enroll into the university of God. And the only way to enroll in the university, you got to go through adversity to get to the university. Because you got to pay the tuition. And the way that you pay the intuition is using your intuition. So the tuition is in the tuition. So there is tuition, that's the cost to pay to go to university. So you have adversity until you use your intuition. So if you look at the word intuition, you're going to see the word tuition in it. So intuition has tuition. Now, tuition is what it's a payment that you got to pay to go to the university. Uni means one. So you're going to keep going through adversity, a bunch of schools, until you use your intuition to go to one school. So you can just keep going through a bunch of shizness all through your life and the problems that keep happening until you make a decision. You know what? I'm tired of going through adversity. I'm going to enroll in the university. And then you go from the university to the university. That's where I'm at. So I go to university. I go to class every day in the universe. But I started with adverse. I started with the adversity. And then I graduated from adversity, and I graduated into the outerverse or the universe. And I went to university. And the university made me just part of one particular universe. Uni means one. Verse means song, frequency, wave of vibration. And that's what everybody does. But then I realized that that was fake. I wasn't being authentic. And the only way to be authentic, I need to add the sum total of the numbers. And that, when I did that, I had to go to the innerverse. And when I went to the innerverse, bam, those three things that I told you guys that everybody should have, I don't even think I went through all three. I know we did one, emotional payoff. That's how you know you are in the right school. You're not in adversity anymore. You're not in the university anymore. You're in the university. Why? You receive an emotional payoff every day. Every day I receive an emotional payoff. After I receive my emotional payoff, guess what I get next? Next, I get a financial payment. So the second piece of the puzzle is to know that you're connected to source, is you always receive a financial payment. You know, people will not even want to, they feel disrespected or disappointed or bad. I told Dr. Span, I remember she came to Dallas. She spoke at my event in Dallas. And I was doing, in the middle of doing a show, I just started feeling bad. Because I remembered that me and my wife had a conversation after we left the event. And we said, man, Dr. Span and her husband, they paid their own ticket all the way to Dallas from Maryland. They paid their own hotel room. They took an Uber. I was supposed to, my intent was to get to Dallas early to pick them up at the airport or from their hotel. I didn't even do that. They got to the hotel. They paid their own food. Then they went back. I was so busy at the event, meeting and greeting and talking to people. Then they got an Uber, and they went back to their hotel, and they flew out. We didn't get a chance to talk, sit down. I didn't get to express my gratitude or nothing. And I thought about it in the middle of the show. And I immediately said, "Doctor, what was your flight ticket?" And I asked her, I said, "You know what? Let me send you $500. Or whatever it costs for you and your husband's ticket. Or the thing that I'm getting ready to do on June the 1st, you and your husband are good. I'll cover the cost, no charge. Which one would you like to do?" Why? Never, ever, ever disrespect another person by not giving them the financial payment that they deserve for their energy and their efforts. Because what you are doing, you're cursing yourself. Because a workman is worthy of his wages. It's extremely, extremely important. There's a lot of that going around in the African-American community right now. A workman is worthy of his wages. He's worthy of his meat. He's worthy of his hire. That's biblical. In fact, let's pull that up. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. It says that, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, nor the worker that is worthy of his wages." In other words, if somebody is benefiting you, helping you, don't put a muzzle on him or her. Let them work. And if they do, make sure you give them some meat, some wages. In exchange, a mutual exchange. So number one, there should be an emotional payoff. Number two, there should be a financial payment. And number three, there should be a peaceful, what I like to call prosperity, which is the last P. There should be a peaceful resolution. The payoff, the payment, and then the peaceful or peace, which is the last P. That's how you know you are in the university, you are enrolled in the school of the big G. You're not in the outerversity. You're not in the university. You're not in the adversity. You are in the university. Now, you can go to any school you want. It's like going to, like, choosing between going to like Harvard and then going to, you know, your local city college. Now, my son just graduated from the University of Texas, and he don't even know. Every black man that's a part of the Life Management System and my family members have all called, emailed me, or texted me to congratulate me, just like they did when he was in elementary school and he was the only African-American or the only black that was the number one in the entire school district in math and science. And when he was a little kid, I remember him looking at me saying, "Dad, why's all those black men shaking your hand?" I mean, after he was in elementary school, and then after the award ceremony, all of the black men came over there and they all shook my hand. "Hey, man, congratulations, you're doing a good job, man. Keep up the good work." And my son looked at me. I'll never forget this because the same thing just happened this weekend. And he had this look on his face that he was dumbfounded. Like, "I don't understand. Like, what's the big deal?" And I told him same thing that I told him when he was in elementary school, in middle school, in high school. I told him when he just graduated from University of Texas. He's only black. Again. And I said, "Kendrick, you'll understand later." He's like, "Dad, I don't understand. It's just a big deal. I just graduated from college, you know." So my sister's graduated. Everybody, we all graduated from college. I said, "Kendrick, you graduated from the University of Texas at Austin. That's like redneck country. That's like good old boy heaven." And look at the pictures on Facebook, all of his friends. Look at the picture in my Instagram page right now, the after party. How many black people do you see in his entourage? Answer, none. He don't understand yet. He changed his major. He almost dropped out of college because of what he experienced at the University of Texas at Austin, which is what I told him when he was in elementary school. "You white, but you ain't white enough." Oh, he's learning. He's not experiencing that peace because he's enrolled in the wrong university. Because he's not learning from the adversity. The adversity is sent into his life to try to teach him something. Just the same way adversity is sent into your life to try to teach you something. Adversity just don't happen because God don't like you. Adversity doesn't happen because of the fact that, you know, the universe ain't got nothing better to do. Adversity happens because God knows you ain't being you. And like I told my son, the same thing I'm going to tell you, until you embrace yourself, all of yourself, because Kendrick fights real hard to be accepted by the dominant culture. Why? He saw me do it for 50 freaking years. Kissed every white man's butt I saw. Why? Because I wanted to be white. Because I hated being black. Because all the black people I saw were freaking losers. That's just real. That's keeping it real. Now I'm proud to be black. I'm happy to be a short black man from Forest, Texas. And I tell everybody, damn near on every show. Y'all hear it. Why? I overstand adversity. So I had to keep going through all the shit that I was going through until I stopped being fake. And I fell in love with myself, and I stopped hiding. I stopped playing small. I stopped playing. Let me close with this, because otherwise it's Memorial Day, and I'm going to keep you guys too long. I can't tell you who I received this email from. Let's just say it was some. I get emails from witches all the time, from high-ranking members in different secret societies. I say high-ranking members, but, you know, that's just what they say. They could be anybody. It could just be, hell, they could be a homeless man for all I know. But the language, the verbiage, the frequency, the way, remember, I'm an energy guy. I'm an energy inspector. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me. I've already made my decision before we started talking. When I pick up your chi and your prana, I've seen and I've met beautiful people that ain't got no energy. And I've met ugly people physically, quote unquote, based upon the dominant culture's definition of what is considered aesthetically pleasing, that have beautiful energy. So you can't judge a book by its cover. You got to judge it. The Bible says, know no man by the flesh, but know every man by the spirit. Now, I can't read you all of this that I received, this email, but I received the email that says this. It says it is time for global change. Now, this is just from somebody I don't even know, and I get these emails all the time, and it says, Grand Awakening, my brother, I want to take a quick moment to share something with you that I believe is very important to your journey and your destiny. Let me skip over that part, blah, blah, blah. And it says, I also understand that you may not receive nor reply to this email, but I am being obedient to the Prime Creator. My name is Blanky Blank. I'm a member of Blanky Blank. We have connected one time before in the past. You probably do not remember. This is very uncomfortable for me, but I was told by Blanky Blank to tell you this. You are thinking too small, and the message that you are uncomfortable with sharing and teaching to others needs to be taught. This is something that you know deep down in your heart. This is the age of Aquarius. Forget about the people, what they think or say. It is time. Also, you are still battling with delivering your message due to fear of alienation or disconnection from loved ones and family members. You are one of the few blankety blank spirits that have been chosen to bring about the global change and to lead advanced spirits to the infinite energy power plan, blankety blank. So it is time to tap into the fullness of your potential and stop holding back due to fear. I have left Blanky Blank organization a year ago, and I returned back home to restart my life. You have been a tremendous help. I have no real income, no source of income, but Source Code literally directed me to you and informed me that this is what I must do, and I must exercise due diligence at fulfilling my purpose through divine source. And the one multidimensional blankety blank blank. That is the opposite of the demiurge blankety blank blank. Coming from me, blah, 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 blah. There are real symbols, mediums, and then it goes into a lot of the esoteric stuff, which, what am I saying? Now, this is something that I already know. That's why I read it. So what is this? This is the way that God, this happens a lot in my life. There's people who don't know me, but yet they do know me because of the energy. So there is an internal. Now, this individual who I don't know, just like the same thing when I talk to you, I don't know you, but I know you. I meet people all the time and I read their energy and I tell them exactly where they're at and I tell them exactly what they're feeling and they know it's true. They don't have to tell me that because I know because Source revealed it to me. That's why I'm a peak performance life coach, not just a life coach. Adversity comes into your life just like me. What I am dealing with is what I talk about in my shows. I'm an open book. And you guys know the good and the bad and ugly. I probably share a little bit too much. As my wife tells me all the time, like a lot of that stuff. But that's the only way I know how to be. Because remember, I came from being fake. So I'm not no longer going to continue to be fake. But there's still a desire for me because I've already lost all my siblings. I've already got a fractured relationship with my children. You know, and the few things inside of my life that are quote unquote permanent, there is a desire for me to hang on to those life or to those things at the expense of the truth. I try repeatedly to teach my message inside of the church at the repeated rejection to the point of bending over and kissing, you know, another man's butt just to get behind, just to be able to share my message in a pulpit to quote unquote help church people. Y'all seen me doing messages. Now people are asking me, hey, Doc, you're not doing messages in the church no more. You just did your message Sunday and you're at home in your living room. Why am I at home in my living room? Because of that email. So I've already implemented what that email was saying, and that is, I don't need no other man. The same thing I'm telling you is what I'm telling myself. What am I saying? I'm overcoming adversity too. I'm learning to tap into and stand on my own feet too. I'm learning that sometimes the road to the top is a lonely road. A lot of times you're going to lose friends and family members. It's going to cost you, brothers. It's going to cost you, sisters. But there is huge benefits from understanding adversity, overstanding adversity. Adversity comes into your life, and it's not necessarily adversity. It's a lesson that is sent to you by God to make you better, not make you bitter. Now, there are some hard lessons in life, and mine came early in life, and I did not understand those lessons. Now I do. So there are certain things that happen in your life that you do not understand. That was very traumatic. Getting hit with that metal pipe when I was a kid was very traumatic. Going to bed hungry every night and my stomach and my back is in the same place. When you were 7, 8, 9 years old, being forced to fast for, 3 to 7, 10 days sometimes. Not understanding what fasting was. That was very traumatic. Now I understand. Because now I can fast, I can do things, I can pray. My disposition is a lot stronger than most people because of my past. So the adversity, it added a frequency to my sales that my disposition, my ability to do extreme, quote unquote, things that are difficult is easy. So when I do a watermelon fast, as one sister did a watermelon fast, she didn't know, and she suggested, and I told her what to do, she lasted 72 hours. She said, and she posted on Facebook, hey, Doc, I did 72 hours, bro. That's it. I'm out. Now, I do my watermelon fast anyway. Sometimes I go 3 days. Sometimes I go 7 days. Sometimes I go 10 days. One time I went almost 30 days. It just depends on where I'm at or how much I got to detox. So how am I? It's real easy for me. Why? I was trained when I was a kid. So that, what I went through, that being forced to fast when I was a kid, back then that made me bitter. Now that made me better. So the adversity that I experienced being on my own since I was 13, take my stuff. You know how many times I've started over in my life? So some people, they lose a car, they lose a house, they lose a business contract, they freak out. Me, man, I go home and sleep like a newborn baby. I've already had freaking 18 cars repoed. Cars come and go. I will lose a car on freaking Friday. I have a new car by Monday. So I don't stress easy. Why? I've been through the fire already. So when adversity comes into your life, it's God preparing you for your journey. It's God preparing you for your future. It's God preparing you for your destiny. If you want to know what you're called to do, just look what you've been through. Look at your adversity, brothers. Look at your adversity, sisters. That adversity is added. It added verses. It added frequencies. It added waves. It added vibrations to your cell. So the next time, if you walk up to me, I don't care. I've met some good people, man. I've met some good sociopaths and psychopaths. They got everybody else fooled, but they ain't got me fooled. They ain't got me fooled. Why? Why, brothers? I've already been down that lane. I know that tune. So they come and they singing that same tune. And I was like, oh, yeah, I recognize that frequency. I recognize that wave. I recognize that day moon. I recognize that diamond. I recognize that demon. Now, you're going to see the diamond, and it's sparkling, and it look pretty. He always come and they please in raiment. But underneath the sparkle, all that glitters ain't gold. You better exercise discernment, boo-boo, or you're going to get took. We're living in a day and age where everything that glitters ain't gold. It's very important that you take everything that you've been through. That way you can realize what you are called to do. Stop running around, jumping around from pillar to post mentally or vibrationally. That makes you, what I talk about inside my book, as a spiritual whore. Now, I ain't talking about you personally, but, you know, people you know. You're jumping around from teaching to teaching to teaching to teaching. You're sleeping with all these different vibrations. That has an effect on your soul. Because the soul is the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. So there are a lot of people that have a lot of mental problems because they are vibrational prostitutes. They slept with too many different vibrations. You might want to slow your roll, boo-boo, and just connect to one vibration, the inner vibration, the inner verse. How? How do you connect to the inner verse? Take out your life optimization chart. Look at those four numbers inside the circle, connect. How do we connect with the numbers, Doc? You are the numbers. You don't connect with the numbers, you just be the numbers. I'm a very compassionate man. I'm a six. Now, I just give my compassion to people who see worth and value in it. Before, I gave my compassion to people who freaking spit in my face. The Bible says, do not cast your pearls among swine. Now, I only give six to people who are able to give that six back. I'm only give that three to people who see the worth and value in the three. There's some people that don't see no worth and value in it. So I keep the keys to my happiness in my own pocket. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because you are wearing out your energy, your glow. There are people that I look who your face used to shine and radiate because you used to function. And you was having fun because the word fun is inside the word function. And now you're not functioning because you're not having fun. And your aura, your chi has been sucked out of you. You're looking old before your time because someone, some place, something is sucking the life out of you. And you're casting your pearls among swine. Return to the adversity. By using the adversity for the tuition that's based on your intuition. Your intuition is your gut feeling. So in your gut, you knew that you shouldn't talk to Jim Bob. You knew you shouldn't take that job. You knew that you shouldn't buy that car. You knew that you shouldn't sell that car. You knew that you shouldn't move. You knew, but in your gut, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Are you trying to do this, trying to do that? Now your job is to learn from it and then monetize it. How do we do that? Number one, there has to be an emotional payoff. A lot of y'all are emotionally bankrupt, just like I used to be. You're emotionally bankrupt. You've given and given and given, and nobody is making no deposit into your emotional bank account. So the bank is supposed to be filled. You're supposed to be a billionaire in the areas of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. You should be a multi-billionaire. But your emotional billions, that's why I like to show billions. So your emotional bank account is too low. So you need some emotional payoffs. Next, your financial payments are low. You should be receiving more financial payments because you're worth more. So demand it. People can't pay you. Okay, it's time to vibrate somewhere else. There should be some type of a financial payment. And lastly, there should be mutual peace, both parties. Because the person should only pay you your vibrational equivalent. So if you're doing $12 an hour worth of work and vibration, that's all you're going to get is $12 worth, $12 an hour. But if you're putting in $5,000 worth of energy every hour, then you should receive $5,000 worth of energy every hour. Brothers and sisters, adversity is your meal ticket to the university. The more adversity that you've experienced, the more university you're eligible for. And the way that you enroll in the university of God is by using the intuition that was given to you by God. Your tuition is inside of you. It is time to enroll in the school of God and get out of the school of adversity. And the way that you do that is take that adversity and let it make you better instead of making you bitter. So, brothers and sisters, I want to wish everybody, I think it's Memorial Day, right? Happy Memorial Day today. I don't really keep up with holidays, so it's just another day at the office for me. But thank you guys so much for joining me on this Memorial Day. I wish everybody a happy, blissful day today. May the big G, the one that has a name, as we just discussed, that's the entire word of God, is written on his thigh that only God knows. May the S-U-M, the sum, and the sun, and the sun, the S-O-N and the S-U-N, along with the Ruach, the Pneuma, and the inner verse, the inner God, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless.
Yeah, never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
If you don't get it, pass repeat and go. Yeah. don't get it, that's your plan.
Call your finance.